Hey everyone, welcome. Let me kick things off with a quick question. How often do your conversations feel like Groundhog Day? You know, the same old, how are you? Fine you? And then nothing. If that sounds familiar, you're definitely in the right place.
Exactly. And honestly, is there anything more painful than being trapped in one of those conversational black holes at a party? But what if we could actually learn ways to escape the quicksand of small talk?
Well, that's precisely what we're tackling today. We're diving into Patrick King's Better Small Talk, a book that aims to revolutionize how we approach everyday chats, turning them into opportunities for real connection.
Right, and King isn't just selling better conversations. He's saying they'll make you happier, more confident, and maybe even less likely to panic when someone asks, "So, what do you do?" Pretty big promises.
They are, but they're supported by some clear strategies. In this episode, we're going to focus on three main areas. First, we'll look at why connection isn't just a nice to have, but a fundamental need for a happier life.
Because if you're currently thinking, seriously, do I need this? Alex will set you straight.
I hope so. Second, we'll break down how to actually prepare for conversations. And yes, you can prepare, but no, it doesn't involve memorizing a script.
Thank goodness, because that sounds like the fastest route to sounding like a poorly programmed Android.
Definitely. Finally, we'll get into some advanced techniques like active listening and storytelling, the tools that can really elevate ordinary exchanges into memorable experiences.
So by the end of this, instead of dreading small talk, you'll be building bridges to richer, more rewarding relationships, and who knows, maybe even survive a networking event without desperately searching for conversation starters on your phone.
All right, let's jump right in. Okay, let's lay the groundwork by talking about something fundamental: connection. It's not just a nice to have, it's a need. Research consistently proves meaningful connections aren't just about happiness, they're vital for our emotional and psychological well-being.
Right. But what does meaningful connection really mean in practice? Are we talking about needing a tight-knit group of friends, or does just having someone to dissect the latest reality TV drama with count?
That's a great question. It's really not about quantity, but quality. Take Matthias Mill's 2010 study, for example. They recorded participants' conversations throughout the day and analyzed them. The fascinating result? People who engaged in deep, meaningful conversations were significantly happier than those who mostly stuck to superficial small talk.
So the secret to happiness is ditching the weather report and diving into our deepest fears?
Well, essentially, deep conversations create a sense of connection, fulfilling our basic human need to be understood and valued. Shallow chit-chat, on the other hand, can often leave us feeling disconnected or even bored over time.
Okay, fair enough. But who's really responsible for steering a conversation deeper? If I ask someone, "How are you?" and they just grunt, fine, game over, right?
Not necessarily. That's where deliberate strategies come in, like asking open-ended questions. Instead of "How are you?", try, "What was the most interesting thing that happened to you this week?" See how that encourages a much more thoughtful response? It shows genuine curiosity and sets the stage for a richer conversation.
Right, but there's a limit, surely. I mean, you can't just jump from "How's your week?" to "What childhood trauma still haunts you?"
Absolutely. Pacing and context are key. Look at Arthur Aaron's famous 1997 study. He used a series of increasingly personal questions to examine how vulnerability builds closeness. They started with lighter prompts like, "What would your perfect day look like?" Then they moved on to deeper ones like, "What is your most cherished childhood memory?" And guess what? By the end, many of these strangers felt deeply connected. Some even became lifelong friends.
Okay, but that was a controlled experiment. I can't exactly pull out a 36 questions to fall in love list at a corporate mixer without looking unhinged.
True. But the main takeaway is that vulnerability and openness are universal catalysts for connection. You don't have to spill your entire life story. You can ease into deeper topics with thoughtful questions that feel natural to the situation.
All right, I'm with you. But let me play devil's advocate here. What about people who don't want to get deep? I mean, some folks are perfectly happy with surface level stuff, right?
That's a valid point, and it highlights the importance of adaptability. Not every conversation has to be profound. The goal isn't to force depth, but to be open to it when the opportunity arises.
So if someone's passionate about sports or celebrity gossip, you engage on that level and then gently guide the conversation towards something more meaningful?
Precisely. Think of it as building rapport. It's a process, not a one-time thing. Even small steps like shifting from how's work to what do you actually enjoy about what you do can spark a more substantial conversation.
Fair enough. It's like the difference between skimming the surface of a lake versus diving down to see what's really going on beneath, right?
Exactly. And here's another layer. Meaningful conversations don't just enhance individual relationships, they also protect against loneliness, which has huge implications for mental health. Remember Epley and Schroeder's 2014 study? It found that just talking to strangers, on a train or in a cafe, consistently improved participants' moods.
Wait a minute, so random small talk with strangers can make you happier? That's counterintuitive. If I'm honest, my first thought on public transport isn't, who can I connect with to boost my happiness? It's, please, nobody talk to me.
I totally get it. It's a common feeling. But the study showed that people often underestimate the positive emotions these little moments of connection can create. It all comes back to that fundamental human need.
So, maybe our society's obsession with minding your own business is backfiring? Maybe we're actually avoiding the very thing that could make us feel better.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to rethink our approach to social interactions. By using tools like open-ended questions and showing genuine curiosity, even casual encounters can become meaningful moments that enrich both our lives and those of the people we're interacting with. And
makes sense. But let's zoom out. How do we bridge the gap between knowing these strategies and actually using them?
It starts with practice and breaking old habits. For instance, consciously commit to asking at least one question aimed at deeper engagement during your next conversation. Or resist the urge to default to safe topics like the weather and instead share something personal or interesting to set a different tone.
Okay, so it's less about totally changing how we talk to people and more about being intentional with small, consistent changes.
Exactly. Connection doesn't require big, sweeping life changes, just the courage to go that one step beyond the ordinary and the awareness to seize opportunities as they arise. So understanding the importance of connection naturally leads us to the next step, preparing ourselves for meaningful conversations. This builds on what we've talked about, giving us some practical steps to have richer exchanges. It's really about taking the theory and putting it into practice.
Right, so it's not just about hoping for a deep conversation to magically happen. We're proactively setting ourselves up for success. But Alex, how do you even prepare for a conversation? Doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of being natural?
Well, that's a common misconception. Preparing doesn't mean memorizing lines for a play. It's more about mental readiness and having some tools in your back pocket to ease anxiety or boost your confidence. Think of athletes warming up before a game. They're not rehearsing every single move, but they're getting their bodies and minds ready to perform their best.
Okay, I like that. Though now I'm picturing someone doing vocal exercises before a party. Hold on, gotta warm up the voice before I tell this joke. Nobody actually does that, right?
It's not quite that theatrical, I promise. Patrick King talks about vocal exercises as a way to center yourself and reduce tension. Just reading something out loud, really focusing on your tone and how you express yourself can be effective. It loosens up your voice and helps you feel more comfortable and confident.
All right, so like an actor prepping for a scene. I can see how that could be useful, but it also sounds a bit performative. What about people who would feel awkward doing that before going out?
That's where internal preparation comes in. King suggests creating a conversation resume. It's really just a personal mental list of go-to topics, anecdotes, interests, you know, maybe fun facts or interesting things you've observed during the week. It's not about memorizing, just knowing you have some options if your mind goes blank.
A conversation resume? Organized with bullet points and subcategories, I assume? Is there a cover letter, too?
It sounds formal, I know, but it can be surprisingly practical. King breaks it down into four categories: daily life, personal interests, notable achievements, and current events. So, under daily life, you might jot down that funny thing your kid said or that weird thing you saw on your commute. Under current events, maybe a recent headline or some kind of quirky science fact.
So, basically, it's a cheat sheet, so you don't just stare at your shoes the whole time. I can see how that could help. But is there a danger of sounding rehearsed? Like, oh, speaking of commutes, I just happen to have this hilarious story ready.
That's a valid concern. It's all about how you bring these topics up organically. Think of it as scaffolding. You're not forcing things into the conversation, but you're ready to contribute when the opportunity arises. Someone mentions they just got back from a trip. You might share a quick story about discovering amazing pizza in Italy.
Got it. So, it's not a script. It's more like insurance against those awkward silences. But let's zoom out for a second. Resume or no resume, how do you navigate the actual conversation? Is there a right or wrong way to move through it?
Definitely. King talks about conversational stages, which is really helpful for understanding how to move a conversation from small talk to something deeper. He outlines four key stages: small talk, fact disclosure, opinion disclosure, and emotional disclosure.
Conversational stages? Every chat has a roadmap now? Am I supposed to follow these religiously?
Not exactly. Think of them as a natural progression. Most conversations start with small talk, breaking the ice, establishing comfort. Then you might move into fact disclosure, like where someone lives, what they do for work, hobbies, etc.
Right, but isn't that where so many conversations get stuck? People get stuck on the facts. Oh, you're in marketing? Cool. I work in finance. Cool. So, how about the weather?
Exactly. That's the pitfall you want to avoid. The key is to consciously move past facts into opinion disclosure. That's where people start sharing what they think, which is always more personal and interesting. Instead of just saying, oh, you're in marketing, you could ask, what's the most interesting campaign you've worked on recently? It becomes less of an interview and more of an interaction.
All right, and the final stage is emotional disclosure, right? But how do you get there without it feeling like you're interrogating someone's deepest fears and regrets? What keeps it from being awkward or inappropriate?
Good point. The progression needs to feel natural. You can't rush it. A good way to start is by offering a small vulnerability or personal insight yourself. Something as simple as, I've always been nervous about public speaking. Have you ever had to deal with that? Sharing first makes the other person feel safer, opening up in return.
Right. So you're signaling, hey, I'm sharing a little bit about myself, and it's safe for you to do the same. But what if someone just isn't receptive? Not everyone wants to go beyond facts.
Well, that's where understanding the stages helps you adapt. If someone's not engaging beyond small talk, that's okay. The goal isn't to force depth, but to be ready to move towards it when the opportunity arises. It's like offering them an invitation to go deeper, without pressure.
Solid advice. And what I love about this is how practical it is. It's not some vague pie-in-the-sky idea. It's something anyone can use. But let's talk evidence for a second. Do we have any reasons to believe this actually works?
There's definitely research to back it up. A 2014 study by Epley and Schroeder found that people who actively tried to connect in small interactions reported feeling much happier than they expected. They found that even just striking up a conversation with a stranger on a train or in a cafe could boost your mood significantly more than sitting in silence.
Wow, isn't that counterintuitive? I mean, most people, including myself, assume talking to strangers is more likely to be awkward than uplifting. This really challenges that assumption.
It really does. And then there's Matthias Mail's work showing that people who have deeper, more substantive conversations aren't just happier, but they also report feeling like they have a greater sense of purpose and connection.
All right, I'm sold. So these strategies, warming up, building a conversation resume, understanding the stages, it's not about becoming some super charismatic person. It's more about giving yourself the tools to approach conversations with confidence. Fair?
Exactly. It's about making conversations easier, more enjoyable, and ultimately more meaningful. Little things like this open the door to those big, rewarding connections. So now that we've laid the groundwork, it's time to dive into making strong first impressions and keeping conversations alive. Think of it as going beyond just talking to actually connecting with people. We're talking active listening and storytelling, tools that deepen relationships.
So we're not aiming for just basic chit-chat. We want conversations that resonate, stick with you long after they're over, create a real impact, right?
Exactly. Ditching those surface-level talks is key, where it feels like two people are just waiting for their turn to speak without really hearing each other. It's all about genuine connection. Active listening and storytelling? Those are your secret weapons. They're impactful, practical, and build on empathy and mutual learning.
All right, let's tackle active listening first. Everyone claims they're good at it, but how many people are truly present and not just rehearsing their reply?
That's the heart of the problem. So many of us fall into what Patrick King calls inattentive listening. Instead of focusing on the person speaking, we're already planning our next brilliant point. True active listening is being completely present. It's attentive, empathetic, and engaged.
Okay, unpack attentiveness for me. Are we talking intense focus, unwavering eye contact, mental note-taking? What does it look like in action?
A simple but powerful technique, King suggests, is the 2-second pause. Just a brief pause after someone finishes speaking before you jump in. It seems insignificant, but it's incredibly effective. It forces you to actually process what they said, and it shows them what they have to say matters.
2 seconds might not sound like much, but it could feel like a lifetime. In a conversation, right? Doesn't that risk an awkward silence where the other person starts wondering if you've lost focus?
It might feel a little strange at first, but it's surprisingly effective. We're so used to immediate responses that the pause actually makes a statement. It gives the moment weight and also allows for deeper, more thoughtful responses rather than something off the cuff.
Okay, so you're saying the trick is thinking before speaking. Mind-blowing. But how do we make that pause natural? How to balance a smooth conversation with this deliberate attempt to slow things down?
It's about practice and combining it with other techniques like empathetic responses. That is verbally acknowledging what the other person is feeling or thinking. Think of it like saying, "I hear you, I see you, and what you're saying matters." So if someone says, "I'm feeling overwhelmed at work," you could respond, "That sounds really tough." Juggling so much at once can be exhausting. It's not just filler. It invites them to open up more.
And you really think that encourages people to share more?
Absolutely. Empathy creates a space where people feel safe to open up. When people feel heard and understood, they naturally let their guard down. It's not just being nice, it's neuroscience. It creates a sense of trust. And trust is the bedrock of any meaningful connection.
I'm with you so far. But let's spice things up. How does storytelling fit into all this? Are we replacing data and advice with once-upon-a-time moments?
Not exactly fairy tales, Michelle, but storytelling fuels emotional connection. A well-told story bypasses logic and goes straight to our feelings and experiences. When paired with active listening, it unlocks real connection and understanding.
Okay, but how do you weave a story without dominating the conversation? You don't want someone thinking, "Oh great, here comes their whole life story."
Structure is key here. Patrick King suggests the 1-1-1 storytelling method, basically one action, one sentence, one emotion. Keep it short but impactful. Instead of a long-winded account of a road trip, you could say, "Last week, my car broke down in the middle of nowhere. It was so stressful, but I got a new appreciation for local mechanics." It's short, memorable, and invites the other person to jump in.
I like it. Short, sweet, and to the point. But what if your story falls flat? You think it's great, but you just get a polite nod. And then silence.
That's when conversational callbacks can save the day. Callbacks is when you weave something from earlier in the conversation back into the current discussion. If the person mentioned they love hiking and your road trip involved a mountain trail, you could say, "You would have loved that hike. You probably could have done it way better than me."
Right. So callbacks act like bridges, maintaining the conversation even if one part doesn't land perfectly. It makes sense.
Exactly. It shows you're paying attention, bringing us back to active listening. People appreciate knowing their words aren't just disappearing into thin air.
I gotta admit, when someone remembers something I said earlier, it does feel strangely validating. Like, wow, they actually cared enough to remember?
And that's the point, Michelle. These techniques, the pause, empathy, structured storytelling, and callbacks, aren't about impressing someone. They're about fostering genuine, shared moments of connection. Right, so today we dove deep into how to build real, meaningful connections. We started with why they're so crucial for our overall happiness and well-being. Then we went through the different stages of a conversation and some really useful techniques like active listening and the 1-1-1 storytelling method. All this to show that if we're more intentional with our communication, we can totally transform our interactions into genuinely enriching experiences.
And we also talked about some practical tools like warming up before a conversation, keeping a mental conversation resume, which sounds a bit much, I know, and practicing that 2-second pause. But honestly, these aren't just fancy tricks, are they? They're actually small, actionable things anyone can do to make their conversations go from just okay to truly unforgettable.
Absolutely. And it all really boils down to empathy, curiosity, and, you know, being brave enough to be vulnerable. Every time we talk to someone, it's a chance to connect in a way that really matters. Not just to kill time, but to actually genuinely engage with another person.
So here's a thought. Next time you're in a social situation, just try one of these techniques. Maybe swap out those boring, surface-level questions for something a bit deeper. Or try sharing a short, engaging story using the 1-1-1 method. Or even just focus on really, truly listening to what the other person is saying.
Exactly. Every connection starts somewhere, right? And as Patrick King points out, even a tiny tweak in how we approach conversations can open the door to lasting, meaningful relationships.
And who knows? Maybe your willingness to go beyond the usual small talk will completely make someone's day. And maybe even more importantly, it'll make yours too.